Monster Movie Media presents.
And welcome to episode 112 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast. A podcast all about the spookiness of Disney and beyond. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, Michelle Young from the Disney Dream Girls Podcast joined me as I tell her and all of you about my time on the final night of operation of the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror at Disney California Adventure. But before we do that, I just want to remind you, if you haven't done so already, to check out our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/creepykingdom, and subscribe to it while you're checking it out, because we have a brand new YouTube show called Creepy Quest. And we are going to be cranking out a lot more written content than we have in the past. We have a lot of things in the works. Really excited about it, but we've already gotten the ball rolling on that. You can find all those links by going to creepykingdom.com. The latest podcast episode, video, and article is always on the homepage of creepykingdom.com. But probably the easiest, the best way to make sure you never miss any of the content we're putting out, because we're all so busy, we don't have time to check websites, is to join the Citizens of the Creepy Kingdom Facebook group. That way you won't miss any of the creepy fun. So now, without any further ado, let's begin. Hey, I'm here with Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls. Hello.
Hello there, James.
I love when you do your creepy voice.
That wasn't meant to be a creepy voice, James. I'm just full of cold.
Oh, foot and mouth. My bad. Well, thanks for coming back on the show.
Do you know, James, I love everything about Creepy Kingdom. I really do. I just think it's such a brilliant take on the Disney universe, so unique, and we are so blessed to have such a wonderful host.
Oh, you're making me blush here.
Aww.
Gosh, my first blush of 2017. Well, thank you for your lovely, kind words. And, I just realized it's been about a year since we've gotten to hang out. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, James, no. It's making me sad. And do you know what? The awful thing is, I've been trying to look at when I can physically get over to California again. I was hoping for Easter, but the flight prices with the pound and the dollar issues at the moment, it's ridiculous. The cheapest flight I can get works out at about $1,200, and it's just, I just can't do it.
Wow. What were you paying for previous flights out to California?
I normally try and draw the line at about $900. But because of the whole exchange rate issues, when I'm there, everything's costing me more money. So my hotel's costing more money. The park tickets are costing me more money. So I just don't know what's going to happen. I want to go to Disneyland, but I may have to wait till later on in the year. and maybe go across at Christmas, because I love Christmas in Disneyland. You just, there's nothing like it in the whole wide world.
Nope, it's like Christmas threw up everywhere on November 1st.
Yeah, but you just can't get that, because you have all the ride overlays as well, which you don't get over in Florida. And I gather this year, particularly pre-Christmas, when the annual pass blockouts happened, the parks were quiet-ish for a few days.
I don't know. Yeah, it blocked me out, that's for sure, because the new pass they had made it so that you can go every day except for the last 2 weeks of December. And the last day that I went before it was blocked out was actually my birthday, and it was a Sunday, and it was just completely nuts before that day. I didn't actually get to go on any rides at all because we had dinner plans and stuff, and it was just like, there was just no time because it was just too crowded and the lines were too long. I did see some pretty crowded pictures, though, over those 2 weeks. So I don't know if it really kept the crowds down. I think it just I think the day guests really increased during the holidays. So
yeah.
I don't know if it worked or not, but I don't know. But the other funny thing, too, is you're saying the exchange rate makes you pay more, but you're probably, you know, they're also raising the prices on everything, so that also you have to pay more for that as well. So it's nuts.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll work something out because I've got to go over and see you and Shannon, because it's like torment seeing all my buddies having a good time in the parks and I'm not there.
We're there in spirit, that's for sure. And speaking of spirits, ghosts, and all that fun stuff, we are here to talk about the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror's final checkout at Disney California Adventure at Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California, United States of America. So, very controversial. Very controversial. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know that DCA closed down Tower of Terror.
How dare they?
I know. Before we get into that controversy, I just wanted to share my experiences going the last night. Now, we were just talking about blackout dates, so it's relevant to the conversation. So the pass that I have made it so that it was blacked out from December 19th until January 1st. So the first day I could go back was January 2nd. And that was the last operating day of Tower of Terror in DCA.
Oh, wow.
And I did want to go on my birthday, the 18th, but like I just said, I figured that was going to be my last time going on Tower of Terror, but like I said, we didn't have time, just didn't work out. And plus that day, since it was the last day before the 2 week blackout, that was a 3 hour wait when we went to try to go on the 18th. So we're just like, yeah, it's not going to work. So yeah, it was, so I knew, I was like, all right, I'm going to go on the 2nd. My pass is good. It was all great. But the only, hiccup there was that I was in Las Vegas and I was coming home on January 2nd. So,
oh wow,
yeah. So I was like, okay, like, gotta get back and get to the park, which is, you know, we spent New Year's Eve in Las Vegas with friends, and that was a late night. That was exhausting amongst itself. But traveling home and then going straight to Disneyland might sound good on paper, but it's pretty exhausting, I'll say. But I was like, I gotta go. It's the last day. I gotta be there for the Creepy Kingdom listeners. You know, I gotta document this from the Creepy Kingdom perspective. So I went. So by the time,
yay.
So the park closed at 8 o'clock, which was weird because Disneyland was open until midnight that night. And usually DCA closes at 10. When Disneyland was up until midnight, but it closed at 8 o'clock. I was like, okay. So I was not able to get in the park until 6:30 PM. Which all day I was looking at the wait times online, and they weren't too bad. You know, they were like 90 minutes, you know, nothing closer to 3 hours I saw on the 18th. So I was like, okay, all right. Well, if they've been staying at 90 minutes, I don't know when they're going to cut off the line. But typically the way it works, which I'm sure a lot of listeners know this, is that as long as you get in line before the park closing time, then you could go on the ride. It's never how long the line takes. So they account that. So when the park closes at whatever time, it really closes like an hour later. It's just you can't get in line anymore.
That's a concept that really does puzzle me, because if you were saying, like, you know, the tower, if it was having like a 2.5 hour wait and they're meant to shut at 8 o'clock, they close the line at 8 o'clock, that they could have another 2.5 hours of work ahead of them to get everybody through.
Right, right. But usually the lines aren't that long. I'm sure typically if they are, they would cut them well before 8 o'clock, which was kind of the case that what happened to me. So I showed up there at 6:30, only to find out that they actually had cut the standby line, that no more people could ride it. Ugh. And so I don't even know how long that line was, because they didn't even have the time up on the standby anymore. So I'm going to try to describe this to people that have been there, but all to DCA, but also the few that haven't. So bear with me. But so typically, you know, they have the fast pass line and they have the regular queue, and it's kind of self-contained in the gates. Very rarely do those lines. Sometimes the fast pass line will go a little bit out the door just because there isn't much queue space for the fast pass line in there. But obviously the standby is a labyrinth of switchbacks. So to the left, if you're looking right at the tower, is the queue to the Hyperion Theater where the Frozen stage show is. And how many people you think fit in that theater? If you had to guess, I would say 5,000 people, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's pretty huge.
It's a huge theater. I probably wouldn't say as many as 5,000, but I'd say it's definitely over 1,000.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. And then to the right of Tower Terror, there was a little nook where the trolleys go that go all the way down to Buena Vista Street. And so I guess it is a trolley stop right there, but I think that's where they go off the track too. There's a gate right there, and then a little bit right to there is the entrance to Bugs Land. So when I showed up there, that entire area where the trolley usually is was nothing but switchbacks with tape on the ground back and forth, and that was the fast pass line. Like, it was there were hundreds of people standing in the fast pass line.
Oh my lord.
To the left, that whole area of where the queue is for the Hyperion Theater, that was the extended queue for the standby line. It was completely filled with people standing in line for Tower of Terror. So whatever wait times and stuff I was getting online was off the mark, because it was absolutely nuts there. So,
wow. So
I go to get I try to get in the standby line, and they're making announcements. They're saying, that's it. It's closed off. It's a 3 hour wait from this point. So it's 6:30. The park closes at 8:00. You know, like the only way that you're getting in line is if you have a fast pass, which clearly there's no more fast passes left. You know, so I was like, okay. So I figured, well, I'm not getting on the ride, but I just wanted to hang out there, and I shot some live video, Facebook Live, of what was going on there a little bit. They have a photo opportunity that they put out there, since they said it was closing with, you could pose with luggage in front of the tower. So I did that. And then I went in the gift shop and I filmed a bunch of stuff. And there's a hidden Easter egg in the exit of Tower of Terror.
Okay.
I don't know if it's an Easter egg or not, but it's a hidden thing. Little Nikki, one of our contributors there, pointed it out to me a while back after we had gotten off the ride. And it depends which, if you, depends, there's like several rows of stairs you go down, depending which elevator you get on. And then if you go down this certain row of stairs, you pass by like the section that's under the stairs. It's gated off, and there's like a bunch, looks like a bunch of storage and luggage.
Another one.
Yep. And creeping in the corner, you see feet behind, like behind one of those like packages there or whatever, or suitcases or or whatever it is. So there's a dead body hidden in Tower of Terror, which is pretty creepy. I'll say.
Definitely creepy.
Yeah, especially there's no other corpses in Tower of Terror. There's only ghosts, you know. So that's something right there. So I figured, all right, well, let me go say goodbye to the dead body if I can't go on the ride. So I went through the gift shop to where the photos go, and I'm just like, I don't know. Usually there's cast members there, and they might be like, you know, where are you going? Because I'm walking, you know, into the exit.
Yeah.
And there was one there, and I just decided that I would ask them instead of, you know, just start walking past them and see where that led, because that seemed like that wouldn't end well. So I said, hey, there's something in the corner back there that I really want to take a picture of. You know, is it okay if I go? I promise I'll come right back. And this cast member looked so, like, just deer in headlights. She was so scared to answer this question. because clearly, like, she didn't want to get in trouble for allowing me to, but then she didn't want to tell me I couldn't do it because, you know, because that would ruin the Disney magic, right? So
dumb. Yeah.
So she was like, I don't know. That's what she said. I was like, bless. I was like, listen, I'm going to go. And if someone asks what I'm doing there, I won't tell them that you said it was okay. And she said, okay. So, mystery cast member, it's not your fault. I didn't get in trouble. Nobody saw me or cared. But, so anyways, yeah, I hung out there, and there was this thing in the back of my mind was like, I feel like there's still a chance for me to get on here. I don't know why. I you know, it was deep inside of me. I knew it. I knew it was still going to happen. So, went back outside. And I was probably like in the shop for like a half an hour, you know, just taking everything in and hanging out there. And when I went back outside, that's when it happened.
Ooh.
That's when they said, no, they didn't even say anything. I just was walking by where the standby line was starting near the Hyperion Theater, and I saw people walking in. And so I said to the cast member, I was like, is the standby light open? And they're like, yes. And I just, I was like, I don't know how long this is going to happen. But I got right in line there. But as I walked by, they were like, it's a 3-hour wait. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Now, I probably mentioned this on the show before, or I don't know, but I'm just gonna reiterate in case anyone doesn't know. Since moving right outside of Disneyland, I've become pretty spoiled, and I have very low tolerance for waiting in lines. Like, I'm at about like a 20-minute max is kind of my tolerance for waiting in a line. You know, because I'm like, after that I get pretty antsy and agitated. So normally I would never agree to wait. I've paid my dues in waiting in lines in my life. You know, I trust me, I'm not, you know, I haven't led a privileged life. I've waited in crazy lines for many things, theme parks, autograph signings, all this crazy stuff. But you know, when they said 3 hours, I was like, well, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm here to do. I got nowhere else to be. I got nothing else to do. I mean, it would have been better if I wasn't by myself, because at least, you know, I have someone to talk to. But I was like, this is what I'm doing. 3 hours. Let's go. And I think that's a decision you can only really make by yourself, because, you know, someone else might be like, oh, I'm not waiting that long, you know, or like that. But so it's probably best I was by myself. But yeah, so I did it, and, you know, you end up talking to people online and pass time. And like, I think once you mentally prepare yourself for being in a line that long, it's not so bad, you know. I mean, I don't know. And I think in actuality, it was 2.5 hours. So there's a half an hour bonus there.
So what time did you actually get to ride?
I'm not sure. I could probably look back at social media posts to see. I do know that eventually the line was cut off. I would say there was probably like 100 people behind me in line.
Okay.
I think it actually closed at 8 o'clock, because I think at the time I got in the line, it was 7:30.
Because I remember being in the UK because of our 8-hour time difference. I was going to work, and I'm seeing that you're queuing up to ride the tower. And I'm like, yay, Jenks, yay!
Yeah, I think that was 7:30 p.m. local time when I got in line. So, and I think I rode it. Yeah, I'm really not bad at these times. All I know is that I was texting with Shannon, who was at home, and I told her when I got in line, and I told her when I got off, and she said that was less than 3 hours. So I think it was 2.5 hours.
Wow, still a commitment.
Yeah, no, I was committed, and I was like, all right. I was like, I'm doing this for the listeners.
But when you think about it, then I've probably queued for Radiator Springs races. That's probably the longest queue I've probably done. And I think that was about 90 minutes.
I can't do it. Oh, that's... I mean, one thing about racers out here is, like, no matter what happens, if you don't have fast passes, it's always single rider.
Yeah.
You always split up with your friends. Because... yeah, that standby line is long and boring.
You're just like, and hot.
Yep. Even single rider is kind of rough, but I've only stood in the standby line once because the people I was with really wanted to ride together. And I was like, and it wasn't even that long, the time I went, and I was like, oh, I'm never doing this again. So, yeah. But, you know, it was like, There was something in the air, you know, like everyone was really excited.
Oh.
You know, and everyone was sad. I mean, you have to imagine that the people that were in this line were really dedicated to it, you know. There's nobody there. Although, funny enough, there was two people in line and that I was talking to, and one of them had never been on it before ever and didn't even know what it was. I was like, why?
Oh, my Lord.
I'm like, why are you standing in this line? And they're like, I don't know. It must be good if people are waiting.
It just had to ride it.
I was like, well, I hope it lives up to the hype for you here. I mean, if I didn't even know what it was, and it, you know, and clearly not an annual pass holder, you know, just a day guest, I'd be like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going on that. I wouldn't wait in that long line, but I don't know. More power to him. But so, yeah, it wasn't. And actually, funny enough, this was the first time I ever stood in the standby line for Tower Terra DCA.
Wow.
Because the thing is, Tower Terra always has a long wait. Like, it's always 90 minutes plus. And the only time that I've ever gone on in DCA is when I had a fast pass. So.
I think I did it once, one Christmas, and I was over and we were recording a show with Paul Barry, and we had done this Where in the Pack type game we were. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it was for the 60th anniversary we were doing it, and we shared it on our both shows. And we got to the tower and the queue was something ridiculous, like 75 minutes. And it's the longest I've ever queued for the tower.
Wow, yeah. It's always like, it's never going to be less than an hour. Well, it's never going to be anything now because it's gone. But like the whole time that, any time I've gone to Disneyland since Tower's been there, it's always over an hour. Unless it's like first thing in the morning, but you know. I don't know. That if you, if, I don't think you're, I don't think my body's ready for Tower first thing in the morning. That's a little, that's a little rough. Just waking up and being tossed around. Nothing really of interest dead in line. I just know that at a certain point the park closed. Oh, what was of interest was while we were waiting, and why I'm sure they originally wanted to cut off the line, because I think they really did want everything to be done at 8 o'clock, because they started setting up. Roping off the streets and setting up for some kind of a event. They set up a stage near the exit. And they had put out stage lighting and had like a big tower or Hollywood hotel logo behind it. And then while we were there, I think they were sound checking. I don't think it was the actual thing. They had a band performing. They're called the Silver Lake Sisters, who I believe were performing in the lobby off and on of the tower during the past few months.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I hadn't experienced that, so I wasn't sure. So they were performing right there, but there was no one really watching them, so I think they were just sound checking, and they were setting up tables and all these, like, mini portable bar setups, so I could tell they were setting up for some kind of like after hours event. Now this wasn't the event that was like a hard ticket event. I think they had that the night before, which you guys may or may not have heard of. It was some kind of exclusive event where I think it was like $100 a ticket. It was like a buffet or something. I don't know, and I was interested in it, but first I was like, well, that's really expensive. And then my pass was blocked out. So then I would have to buy a park ticket on top of that $100 ticket. I was like, well, clearly I'm not going to that. but it was not that event. I think this was probably just a private event for cast members or VIP guests or something. I'm not quite sure. So, because as we were, you know, it was becoming more and more apparent that they were setting up as we were standing in line. They set up a red carpet that led in front of the Hyperion Theater. In a distance, I could see Goofy dressed up as a bellhop. And he was,
oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and he was posing for pictures or something. I don't know who was there or what it was, but clearly whatever was happening was not meant for regular park guests. And that's why I think they really wanted to get everybody out. And in fact, when we actually exit the ride, which I'll skip ahead, we had to exit through Bugs Land because that entire section was completely roped off by the time we got off the ride. So I guess that was a little interesting. So I got to see a little bit of a private party, us commoners. I was like, my invitation must have been lost in the mail, I guess. I don't know why I didn't get one. You know, did you get your invitation to the private party?
Yeah, of course they're going to invite me out.
Right. But you were busy that day, so you couldn't make it.
Cost me a fortune to fly all that way.
Oh, it's not all expenses?
No, I doubt it.
So let's get inside here. So we finally get in there and we go into the first room. You watch the television and you find out what happened. And every single person in there was recording the television on their phones. Like, everyone was just so excited to be in there and like trying to document this for the last time. So yeah, it was real fun, exciting vibe in there. So then we go down there and we go to our line and to get in front of our elevator. And I was around the people that I was with the whole time. And as we're waiting to board, you know, everyone's on their numbers and everyone just decided to help, you know, have everyone take pictures. Like, from the service elevator. You know, so, you know, people would all, you know, take their phone, and it was basically kind of like a photo spot that we created on our own. And it was funny because the cast member kept going, "Please stay on your numbers," and then he'd walk away, and then we'd continue taking pictures real quick, and then get back on our numbers. So that's how I got like a really cool picture of me in front of the service elevator. So that was kind of fun. So then we finally get in there. We got to ride. And the thing I forgot to mention, too, that they've been doing for the past few months is they've been having Tower Terror in the dark. So, no lights would come on. And I didn't really know what that meant. And I was kind of concerned that also meant that the doors wouldn't open when it reaches the top. Because when that happens, that gives you... First of all, it gives you a visual cue that you're about to drop so you can prepare yourself. But it also gives you your bearings a little bit because it really throws off your equilibrium, especially for us old people. I'm just like, I get a little dizzy when I don't know which way is up. And so the doors opening do that. And I was kind of concerned that I was going to get really dizzy if the doors didn't open. But I was like, all right. So... For people that have not been on DCA's Tower, and only Walt Disney World or any other one in the world, it's a little different what happens. So one of the first things you see the ghost of the guests that have disappeared, and then you go up to a mirror, and then you see ghost in the mirror, and you see yourselves, and that's where they take the picture. And then you go for the drops. So basically, all that stuff wasn't there. It made it really, really scary. It was a fun scary, of course, but it was just like, oh, man. Now, the doors did open at the top, so I was grateful for that. But it was such a rush. I loved it in the dark. Like, I was actually kind of shaking when I got off the ride because it was just really through. Like, it was just like, I was like, wow, it's such a fun rush. I understand why it affects, like, why some people are scared of it or people that have ridden it won't go on it again. There's something it does to your body because you're falling faster than gravity. And that just messes up your whole bodily functions. You're just like, you don't know what's going on.
Plus also to be deprived of any light. Wow.
Yeah. I will say it wasn't pitch black because you could still see a little bit, you know, like I could see my hand in front of my face, but still it was, you know, cause a little light leaks in there, but still that was crazy. That was definitely crazy to not have all those cues, especially since DCA's Tower is it does the same thing every time. So when you ride it, you're like you're kind of waiting for it to hit those beats, and you can anticipate what's about to happen, and not knowing what's going to happen at any second is pretty fun. And that's a lot of the fun of the other one at Hollywood Studios. But I'll get into that later. But everyone in there was just so excited and screaming and so much stuff. In fact, I recorded audio of the entire ride. So let's listen to that.
And then turn your hands up and tug on the yellow tab on your guys' right hand side.
Nice hole. No one better snaps
on the fly. And tug on that yellow tab on your guys' right hand side.
Reservation.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
on torn forward once again.
Oh no! What the freak is this?
Through the door of an elevator and into a nightmare. That door is opening once again, but this time it's opening for you.
Oh, I hate this.
Woo! Oh my god, I hate this so much. Oh my god.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too. It was such a fun experience being in there with the lights out, and that was fun, and everyone being in one of the last cars, or elevators, whatever. just such an air of excitement that, I don't know, I've never been to a last night of a Disney attraction before, so that there's just such a fun excitement in the air when it comes to that. It was worth waiting in line for. It was a really awesome experience. Be able to say goodbye to DCA's Tower. So that was just about it on the way out. I took a picture with some bellhops, which I was hoping they would be menacing, but they gave goofy smiles, which was funny. It was also funny, too, was that they were still setting up for this after hours event or whatever, or VIP event. And I was trying to take the picture, and I assume it was one of their supervisors was like, "Hey, I need you to do X, Y, and Z." And the person that I was taking the picture with was like, "It's like, can't you see I'm doing something over here? I'm busy." And I was like, "Wow, man, you're risking your mouthing off to your supervisor on my behalf."
So I suppose now if we want to get a fix of the Tower of Terror, you're going to have to go over to Paris, basically, because it's the only replica ride available, because the one in Florida is very different.
Yes. But I will say, I mean, I've been kind of silent on this topic. I guess we can bring it up now. People have been really upset that Tower's closing in DCA. People have a lot of emotions about it, and I respect their positions on it for sure. My position on it is, well, the first Tower of Terror I ever experienced was the one in Florida at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is such an incredible experience every time. Like, there's never a dull time. whenever people that have not ridden it but have been on the other ones, I never want to ruin it for them. Because I'm just like, there's that moment that happens that you're just really not expecting that blew me away the first time that I went on it. And I still won't ruin it on the show. But I will say this, is that my last trip to Florida, I went on Tower, you know, and after, you know, being a Disneyland local for a year and going on that one, you know, several, you know, often enough, I always felt like after I got off the DCA one, like I got ripped off, like I got like a cheap version of the ride, you know, and I always had that feeling like, it's, you know, it's fun, obviously, but I just feel like they ripped me off because the Florida version is so incredible. You know, I'm just like...
Well, true. There is a big difference between the two of them because when they came about to make the DCA version, they had a smaller plot and they wanted to use a smaller budget. So some things had to be cut.
Yeah, I know why it happened, but to me, I'm like... So when they announced that they were closing in DCA, my first thought wasn't sadness because I was like, well, the real version's in Florida, which I love so much more. And then they also announced that it's still going to be the same ride system, just a different theme. And I'm like, well, then I could still I still love the thrill of the ride. So I was like, well, I'll still get to experience the thrill of the ride here in California. But when I want the real full Twilight Zone Tower Terror experience, it's worth traveling to Florida for. I mean, honestly, yeah. I really believe it is. Another aspect of it, which I will mention that's different, is that they have, I don't know, 9 different ride sequences in Florida. And in DCA, it's the same one every time. So not knowing what to expect when I got back on it this past year after going on DCAs a bunch of time was like amazing. Like,
yeah,
like there's just really no comparison. Like it is so worth going. I know it's tough for a lot of Disneyland locals to justify going to Walt Disney World at all because a lot of them have never been because they're like, well, why would I do that when I have this here? It's the same thing, blah, 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 you know. You know, there's similar attractions for sure, but it's certainly not the same thing going to Walt Disney World to Disneyland, and specifically Tower makes it a reason to go, in my opinion, especially because there's not really too much going on in Hollywood Studios right now because they're closing all the attractions and building Star Wars and Toy Story Land there. But that still gets me in the
True.
That still gets me in the gate, you know, and it always will, especially now since it's I can't ride it anywhere else. That version of it, of course.
Well, you can kind of ride a similar. It is the same at Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris. Mm-hmm. The only difference between the two is that it's La Tour de la Terre, un salut dans la quatrième dimension. That's the only difference. Is occasionally they'll play the Rod Serling element in English, but it's predominantly in French.
Okay. I was like, man, that...
And everything else is virtually the same.
Oh, okay. Well, you have the unique perspective of being able to report on that because you've been able to do it.
Yeah, it is a virtual carbon copy because they were opening, you know, they opened between months between them. The curious thing is with the Paris version, for some reason, the rear of the building is collapsing or parts of the concrete is falling off, so it's being covered in netting.
Oh, you mean like for real it's falling off? I thought it was like a design.
No, for real it's covered in netting to stop big chunks of concrete hitting people. And the only thing I can think of is because where it is in La Manne, La Vallée, it's in a valley and it does get very cold on a night. And possibly when they did the sort of concrete render, it just, you know, different temperatures to you get in California. And bear in mind the Paris version opened in December 2007. Maybe it was a bit, you know, the concrete didn't go off properly or the plaster or whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because, you know, Disneyland Paris gets full on snow, right? Because I've seen some snow covered pictures of the park.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I've been, or Jane's been in February, who's my co-host on the Dream Girls, and she was so cold she had to spend most of her time in the Earl of Sandwich.
Wow. I mean, those sandwiches are good, but you know, I don't want to spend my whole trip there. That's nuts.
Yep.
Oh boy. Well, I will say this too. I can understand why Disneyland locals are upset, because it's the only tower they've experienced, and of course it's an incredible theme and they have an attachment to it. And I get that. But whenever anyone's asked me about it, I always say, it's like, but you have to go to the Florida one. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. You know, I can't afford to do that, or X, Y, and Z. You know, and I always think to myself, you know, I am not a wealthy person by any means. But I think if you want to do something bad enough, like, you figure out a way to do it. You know, and I'm like, especially if you're a Disneyland pass holder. I mean, that is so expensive to be. So, you know, I will say to those that are listening that are saying, like, I can't go to Florida, I'll never be able to get there, I'm like, I don't, you know, they're not going to be closing that anytime soon. You know, put your pennies away, save for a few years, I don't know. But you got to get there. You got to experience it. And, you know, for the most part, I will say the attractions that are both parks, which you and I have discussed in detail on previous episodes, attractions that are in both parks or both resorts, the better versions at Disneyland, but not, it was never for Tower. Tower always won in Florida by far. So get out there and experience it. And I also want to say, I'm not really upset about the re-theme of Guardians of the Galaxy, because I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I think I love the movie so much. I'm really anticipating the new movie. I think it's great. And I'm also really excited that this is going to be the beginning of a Marvel mini land in DCA. I think anything with time they're talking about new attractions or new lands, like that's something to be excited about. I don't know. What do you think?
I've not yet seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I have bought a copy of it to watch, which Kieran has stolen from me quite wickedly. So I'm going to have to sneak it out of his bedroom this weekend and watch it. For me, I am upset that Tower is going. I really am, because I do love going over to DCA and being able to ride it. I'm not sure about the new attraction, but I'll wait until I've ridden it. I'm not going to write anything off until I've seen and experienced it. And then I feel I will be justified in saying it's rubbish.
Very diplomatic. Well, I mean, there's always the two things. There's, well, how do you feel about the idea of something? And then how do you feel about what it actually was? So right now I'm saying I still get to experience the drop, you know, falling faster than gravity experience in my backyard. So that's cool. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. So I don't mind it. It's not like it's something I hate is going in there. So that's another plus for me. And again, like, the idea of a Marvel Miniland, I think that, I feel like that people aren't really excited. I know there's a lot of people that don't like, Disney fans that don't like Marvel. Not a lot, but there's some. And particularly those that like creepy stuff, you know, because Marvel, some people don't think it's creepy, but there's a lot of creepy stuff going on there. But I just think it's exciting to have new attractions in any of the parks, in all honesty, no matter what they are. And even though that this Guardians of the Galaxy makeover is not going to be a necessarily new attraction, but they are will be adding other attractions to this Marvel Miniland. And I assume that's going to happen sooner than later, because the idea is to have this Marvel Miniland fully operational before Star Wars Land opens in Disneyland, just to offset the complete chaos that's going to be. So...
Franchise land,
yeah. We're not going to be getting any original park stuff for a long time, because right now it's all about intellectual properties. So, right now that's what's getting people in the gates. So I don't know, but that was my experience that night. That's how I feel. I was glad I got to go there for the last night and be around everyone else that was excited to be there and. Sad to see it go. You know, I mean, like I said, I am excited about what's coming, but, you know, it was cool to have a little creepy element in DCA. There's really no other place like that in DCA, and I guess there won't be anymore. I guess that's something to be sad about. You know, Tower was DCA's Haunted Mansion. So.
Well, perhaps we can get an element of creepiness brought in by the lovely listeners, and they can, you know, make over an attraction. They could go to Heimlich's roller coaster and paint it black and change it all into creepy, and instead of having watermelon, you can have decaying bodies and have cobwebs dangling. And yeah, I've got loads of ideas how to make DCA creepy.
Wow, it's a decaying bugs land.
Yeah, we've got the Little Mermaid's bloodbath murder scene. That's gonna go down great with the 9-year-olds.
Yeah, no, 9-year-old kids these days have quite a bloodlust, so they'll be all about it.
You know, zombie walking mermaids. I tell you, if you buy one of those mermaid blankets, you will turn into a zombie, because you'll be tripping over and cutting your head open all the time because you can't move both your legs.
That's right. And then you'll be dead, and then you'll be a zombie. Yeah, so it's a fast word. Do they sell those in the park? I don't know. I've only seen them online.
You know, somebody's going to drop some red food colouring in the water over at Grizzly River Run, and it'll be a bloodbath ride.
That'll be fun. You know, I've never been on that ride.
No way.
Yeah, I keep waiting for those days. Like, you know, I'm going to wait till it's a really hot day, and I'm going to bring a bathing suit. And I just never do it. But
I am waiting for that on Facebook Live.
You want me to Facebook Live, Grizzly River Run? I don't know if my phone will survive it.
James in his swimsuit on River Run.
Yeah, we'll do that one. I usually try to... I go on water rides very rarely. I've had some... It takes a lot for people to get me on Splash Mountain here in Disneyland, because in Magic Kingdom, you don't usually get that wet, but Disneyland, every time I get on it, I'm completely soaked. So, yeah, I don't know, but DCA could have a lot of things that we could change creepy, but there's nothing there that's going to be creepy on its own anymore, so I guess that's something to be sad about. But like I said, we have go to Florida. Michelle says if you want to simulate DCAs, go to Paris. There is a Tower of Terror at Disneyland Tokyo. It's not Twilight Zone themed, but... Listen to our episode with Grant and Brittany talking about going there. They informed all of us that the tower there is ties into the Adventurers Club, which used to be at Walt Disney World, and also ties into Mystic Manor, which is Hong Kong Disneyland's haunted mansion. So, yeah. So there
it's really interesting as well. The Tower of Terror over in that there. Tokyo, you have a car seat belt to keep you more stationary in the vehicle as well, don't you?
Oh, it goes over your shoulder, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's no fun.
Well, they've obviously learned from all those people who lack a little bit of free travel on the attraction.
I guess so. Because, you know, the thing about riding it now with just the lap belt is you always get lifted out of your seat. Even if it's just even if it's just like an inch, you feel like it's like, whoa. I feel like that's no fun to keep you in there like that, but no, Japan's keeping us safe.
Yeah, good old Japan.
Alrighty. Well, soon enough, if it's not by the time this is released, soon thereafter, I will have a new video up of some of the stuff I filmed that night. Of course, pictures. And everything, you know, from the final checkout. Check out the show notes for that. It'll be there waiting for you. And, so, Michelle, thanks again for coming on down to the kingdom. If people want to travel on up to Dreamgirl Palace, how do they do it?
You can find us anywhere and everywhere under Disney Dreamgirls. We have a Facebook page where we post all sorts of things. Our Twitter page is @DizDreamgirls, and we release a podcast every Sunday, and it's basically anything and everything to do with the Disney theme parks. And, you know, we just look at it from a fun, loving fondness for food and Disneyness without being a pixie duster. So why not take a listen?
Said without being a pixie duster?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that'll just rave about everything that's Disney and say it's all wonderful. I'd rather say how it actually is without... I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be one of those people. But if something's not good, I'm going to say it's not good, but I'm going to probably give some alternates or suggestions.
That's the way to be, right? If you're gonna, you know, if you don't like the way it is, instead of just saying you don't like it, you know, come up with a better idea, you know, and that's the best approach.
And my thoughts of having a Snow White Scary Adventure dinner buffet party should be taking place anytime soon if Disney are listening to me, because I've been on about it for years.
Yeah. I don't know why they're not taking up on that.
I know, I'd go.
I'll go too.
Yay, that's 2 tickets sold.
All right. Let's do it. So, 2 people to cover the cost of the event. So I would say those tickets are going to be $5,000 each. I don't know.
Well, they're going to have to pay for all the 7 dwarfs to turn up, for Snow White, the Evil Queen, the Old Hag, and the Prince. So they all need to be there. They need to have a delicately themed dessert-style buffet served in the ride and have photo opportunities. So I don't expect much.
Wow. Yeah, that would be incredible, actually. I'm really starting to think about that. That would just be incredible, because I'll tell you one thing, you know what's even creepier than being on Small World by yourself is going on Snow White by yourself. Because when you get in a cart by yourself, you don't see any of the other carts.
True.
So when you go through the forest, which it's that area is so creepy to, it strikes a nerve. It must have been something deep from my childhood or something. Because there's just something so unsettling about the forest at the end of the attraction that I'm getting kind of freaked out just thinking about it. You know, I'm just like, if we could have a dinner party in there, oh my, that would be something else. Yeah, let's get that going.
Yeah.
Let's get a...
Hey, should we set up a GoFundMe?
Yeah, I was about to say, let's start raising the... That's the thing. We have to be either so rich or so famous that you could just go to Disney with these things and they just have to comply.
Have I told you about the guy over at Disneyland Paris who is so mega, mega rich? He every year has parties for people. And the only reason that Disneyland Paris has got a Cheshire Cat meet and greet is because he paid for it to be done. And he had the exclusive rights to use it for the first, I think, year. And now it's available for Disney to put out in Disneyland Paris for meet and greets. And that's why they're the only park with a Cheshire Cat.
Wow, is this like a full-bodied costume, like an adult size?
Yeah,
costume?
It's. Wow. I met Cheshire Cat when I went at the end of last year. I've got a picture somewhere, James. I'll send you it. And it is an absolutely amazing outfit.
And this guy, like, he wanted it, so he paid for it, and then had no one else could go to it for a year. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I want to do. That's incredible. I want a Chernabog meet and greet in Disneyland. I get exclusive year rights to it. Wow, that's awesome. And while we're at it, I want a Bellatrix Lestrange meet and greet at Universal and Diagon Alley. And I'll pay for that too. All right, let's get it going. All right. So all right, back to reality. Well, we should end on a higher note than that, than the sadness that I can't do those things.
How much better in life could it be than having our own Snow White dessert party?
Well, let's have one. I think, I don't know if we'll be able to do one on the ride, but I think we can accomplish it on our own, right? I feel like I feel like it'd probably cost a lot less money than whatever they would charge to do. If we took a space, decorated it exactly how we wanted it, got people to be characters, this completely for private use only, of course. We would not charge a profit on this because this is a private party just for Creepy Kingdom listeners. So don't come after us, Disney. But if we did all that, let's do it. All right, guys. Let's get that GoFundMe going. We'll raise the money for it. Oh, boy. All right, Michelle. We better head now before we get ourselves in more trouble. So.
Totally, James. Keeping it creepy.
If you want to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you could do so by emailing us, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes and our original videos and articles, just go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time,
keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.